In Los Angeles, I'm Adrian Hill in for Kai Rizdal. It's Friday, October 27th. Good to have you with us. We start today, as we do every Friday, with our weekly wrap, a look at the economic news of the week, and a peek ahead to what next week might have in store for us. A tax bill, a new Fed chair. Today, we've got David Gura from Bloomberg and Sheila Kolhatkar from The New Yorker. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Adrian.
Hi.
I want to start with the GDP. Economic growth was better than expected at 3% last quarter. And I wonder, Sheila, if you can start us off, what's driving that?
Well, it's a very encouraging sign that the storms that people predicted would have a huge impact on the economy did not hurt as much as some economists were expecting. And it appears that consumers are still willing to spend money in spite of, various worrying signs in terms of the global news horizon and what's going on in Washington. So that has played a large part in kind of propping up some of these economic numbers. I think there are people who are going to use this to attack some of the Republicans' key arguments that regulation, for example, is choking off economic growth. It seems that American companies are actually doing fine in the current environment. So that will be interesting to watch.
Any clouds you see in today's report, David?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Commerce Department acknowledged it really can't say how much the storms affected these data. So there's some concern there. And then these are data that are subject to change as time goes on. It's the first read of growth. So we're going to get another read next month, another read the month after that. And when you look at the data, there are indications about inflation as well. There's some price data in there, and that's still coming in below what the Fed would like to see. So there is some weakness therein. It is the first read, but I think that rightfully seen as something that is a good sign for the economy.
I want to move on to the tax plan we're expecting from the GOP next week. The House passed a budget that sort of sets the table for that, but it only passed it by a slim margin. Where do you see the hurdles, David, coming up for this GOP tax plan?
Yeah, we really don't know what's going to be in the tax plan. It's been crafted under a lot of secrecy. The chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Kevin Brady, has done that. He's trying to marshal it through. So next week, he says on Wednesday, we're going to get a look at it. There's a lot that hasn't been defined yet. We've seen some of these controversies emerge about what's going to happen to benefits to 401k contributions, for instance, or the state and local tax deduction. There's stuff that needs to be hammered out. And you look at that vote on the House budget, which is really the Senate budget, and it was by a 4-point margin. So there are clearly people who are concerned about what that tax bill is going to look like. And you've got folks on the Senate who voted for the Senate version of the bill, maybe just to advance the procedure to see what's going to be in the tax bill going forward. So I think a lot has yet to be seen. That's going to be the biggest hurdle, just trying to get something that is going to be pleasing or at least palatable to the right number of congressmen to get it through.
And Sheila, what do you think? I mean, how doable is major tax reform when we see the party as divided as it is right now?
Well, I think in terms of the process that seems to be playing out, this tax debate is starting to mirror the healthcare debate in a lot of ways, both in terms of the people who are likely to benefit from the legislation and the people who are likely to be hurt. I mean, with the healthcare plan that they were trying to push at different points, they were proposing to take healthcare away from large numbers of people. They used a similar process of trying to keep it all very hidden. They didn't speak to any Democrats about it or try to get them on board at all. Their plan was to pass it with only Republican votes, and that did not work out well. So there are people pointing out the fact that, you know, they're pursuing a similar strategy, and it's a little bit worrying because they have very, very little margin to, you know, in terms of votes that they can afford to lose.
Bets on whether or not they can get anything big done? David?
I think the odds are very slim. I mean, we're talking about just a matter of days when you're going to have the House and the Senate together. And we're talking about like 3 weeks for the entire process. And you look back at the last time this happened, it happened over many months. So I think fair to say the odds are slim.
So we've only got about a minute here left, but I want to talk about President Trump's pick for Fed chief. We could see that. We're now expecting that decision next week. Sheila, any bets on who his choice might be?
Well, I think the most important task he has is to not screw things up. And there's a very powerful argument to be made to just kind of keep the status quo, because based on the data, the economy is performing quite well. And Trump seems to enjoy taking credit for that, including the stock market reaching new highs every other day. So there is a risk in terms of making a change that might interrupt that period of improvement. And I'm very curious to see what he does.
David Gura from Bloomberg and Sheila Kolhatkar from The New Yorker. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Adrian.
Thank you.